Ephesians chapter 1. Allow me to read the first four verses. And it's hard to quit, but I'll have to quit just because we won't study any further than that today. But I do want to remind you of a couple verses that we've already studied and then for you to see what we're going to go into. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I stop there for a moment? And I shared with you last week how that grace and peace is God's offer to the earth today, to the world. And I showed you how that's the opposite of everything else in your Bible other than Paul's epistles. Because when they summed up the Old Testament and what Jesus Christ lived under was the law, it was still bringing in the new, but the new hadn't come, that all of that is broken up into two terms, the law and the prophets. The law is the opposite of grace, and then the prophets is the opposite of the peace, because in the prophets, God has prophesied judgment against all who has broken his laws. And he's going to bring his wrath upon this world so that he can establish a kingdom on this earth. I just say all that to you because we live in interesting times. I don't know how to make anything of news today because we don't live in a prophetic age. But it sure is interesting to listen to the news and listen to them talk about Israel signing peace treaties. Because the one thing that you need to know is that what's going to end this age of grace, excuse me, it's not going to end the age of grace, what's going to begin the day of God's wrath is when Israel signs a treaty, possibly with Assyria or Syria, and possibly. But whatever it is, they're going to sign a treaty, and they're going to finally say, we've done it, peace and safety. Man did it without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God breaks out the heavens, and no longer will it be a verse like verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. It'll be wrath that's going to be poured out from God. We made those points last week, but just within the week, we saw shadows of the age of grace being over. But to this day, and every day that you wake up, you have the opportunity to live in another day of God's grace and to open up your Bible and be reminded, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I say it's hard to stop reading in Ephesians, because when Paul said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to spiel off several things that he is praising God for, the blessings that have been given to us in Christ. Now, the first one is just general, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then he talks about our being chosen in Christ unto holiness, to be holy and without blame before him in love. Then he goes on to talk about the destination that we have as adoption of children. And then he goes on to talk about the redemption that we have through the blood of Christ, and how there's been the revelation of God's will has been given to us. And down in verse 11, how we've been given an inheritance and how to make sure that that inheritance is sure. The last thing he says is down in verse 13 and 14, how we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Paul looks at that and he just rolls with the blessings that God has given us. And when you read Ephesians, you don't really read this. It's a short epistle, but you're best just once you start, don't stop until the epistle's over. Because it just flows with the graciousness of God and the blessings that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, we want to study those, so we have to go slow. We can't just read them and roll, because one of the things that's always been a problem to me is when I come to verse 3 and it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I used to shout, amen, but never understood why. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What are they? What is that? I don't know, but it sure sounds good. And I just keep on reading. Well, we're in a Bible study, and so we need to know what those things are. In fact, the reason we have to know what they are is Paul has an understanding that he's communicating in this epistle to us about these things. And when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that word blessed, is what he's offering to God is praise. And it's a praise of thanksgiving to God because he knows what God has blessed him with. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us. And then he starts naming the things that we've been blessed with. And so the reason that the Apostle Paul can roll this way and offer the thanks to God is because he has an understanding of things that God has blessed us with, and it causes him to turn around and that term blessed God. It's not he's not bestowing any virtue to God, but he is thanking God. He has got a grateful, happy, the word blessed is happy, but he's got a grateful, happy disposition toward God and is thanking God because he understands what God has given him. And you know, we could get together and we could have services where song music like that last song could be played. And that one's pretty easy to understand, so we can get all excited and bless God when we're all done and say glory, hallelujah, and praise the Lord and all the rest if we so choose. And if you ever feel like doing it, do it. But what I'm saying here is just to get together and have a lot of songs that are really big in height, and then to go into the Old Testament and say, let's pick this psalm and let's sing it unto the Lord and sing it, you might not be blessing God appropriately. The reason we sung Psalms 105, go back there. I want to show you this. And what I'm saying is when we praise the Lord, you better praise the Lord with some understanding. And that's what Paul's doing in Ephesians. And if you grab your Bible and you start praising the Lord for Psalms 105, there's no glory to God in that because God is not doing Psalms 105 today. And you'll see real clearly how Psalms 105 doesn't have anything to do with you in the first place. Psalms 105 speaks about God's purpose and his covenants for the nation of Israel. And for a Jewish person, and understanding God's promises to them and what he's going to bring to them, they could sing the Psalms to God with the exact same attitude that Paul has in Ephesians chapter 3, because this is God's promises to them. And they would bless God and thank God for these things. But you and I, if we're going to lift our voice in song, and if we're going to shout hallelujah and praise the Lord, we need to do it for what God has promised us. Otherwise, we're praising God for something that's meaningless. And there is no proper worship when it comes to ignorance. We've said time and time again that the proper worship of God is in spirit and in truth. Spirit is your mental capacity, the ability to understand the things of God because he has given you his spirit. And truth is what God has said to you. You're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Now what part is true of today for you? Learn that and then praise God. When you come to Psalms 105, I just want to point out to you how this is the attitude. Psalms 105 is just like Ephesians 3, only it's a little different. If you just back up, in fact, into Psalms 104, the last couple of verses there, in fact, the last verse, it says in verse 35 of Psalms 104, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." Now there's an idea of what it means to bless the Lord. It's to praise him, and then look how Psalms 105 continues. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." And so there's an understanding, as you see. There's a blessing the Lord is being happy and rejoicing in the Lord. It's praising him and it's giving him thanks because of the things that he has done, the deeds that he has done. But then it begins to talk immediately about the people. And it doesn't take much reading before you begin to understand who the people are. Verse 6 says, "O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen." And so he begins to talk about the chosen nation of Israel and the things that God has promised him. He says in verse 7, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered the covenant forever, the word which he hath commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant." Now what does that covenant involve? "Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance." When they were a few in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went out from one nation to another, and to one kingdom to another people, he suffered not a man to do wrong, Yet he removed kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And so what we have here is God's promises of to the nation of Israel about the land that was promised to Abraham and the blessings that God is going to give to the nation of Israel in that land. And when they think of those things and God's promises and covenants to them, they say, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord for his marvelous deeds, because God is going to fulfill all his will that he is going to accomplish for the nation of Israel. But now, hold your place in Psalms 105, and let me just show you some contrasts that I think are just interesting. For instance, Psalms 105, verse 6, we've already talked about how this is to the nation of Israel. When you come over to the book of Ephesians, you know who he's writing to? He's writing to Gentiles. For instance, if you just come over quickly to chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Just in case you didn't understand, the people of the city of Ephesus, they're Gentiles, they're not Jews. They're not the seed of Abraham, they're not the seed of Isaac, they're not the seed of Jacob. They're not the covenant recipients of the covenants of God. They didn't live in the land of Canaan. They didn't possess that land. He's writing to Gentiles. So Ephesians is a whole different group of people that's being written to. Psalms 105, if you go back there again and then consider verse 6 this time, it says, O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Now here's the chosen nation of Israel. But you know, when Paul breaks out with a praise unto God in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 4, he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he writes to a different group of people, and he writes to another chosen group of people. Not the chosen nation of Israel, not the chosen seed of Jacob, but chosen out from among the Gentiles to be his people and to be a benefiters of promises that he makes to them. In fact, not promises. We don't have promises. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We have blessings bestowed upon us. We have God's grace bestowed upon us. God has given us some things in his grace, not according to his covenant. If you again compare Psalms 105, and this time look at verse 7, it says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And so when it talks about the nation of Israel, it talks about what God is doing in the earth. But do you remember what Ephesians 1:3 just said? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, Gentiles, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, so not only is it a different group of people, another chosen group of people, but the blessings we have doesn't involve the earth, it involves heaven. That's quite different. See, what I'm trying to say to you is you can't break forth in proper praise to God about Psalms 105 unless you praise God for what he's going to do with Israel and what he promised Israel. Now, you can do that, and I do. When I study the Bible and I see what God is going to do with the nation of Israel, sometimes I think I'd like to be part of that. But I'm not. God has given me something else, and I'm glad to be a part of that too. So anyhow, we just properly understand the verses. Psalms 105 and verse 8 says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded unto a thousand generations. He didn't remember his covenant with us. What it says to us is that we have been blessed. In fact, it goes down in verses 10 and 11 to talk about the mystery of his will. And so it's quite different than the covenant that he made with us. Verse 10 says, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for everlasting covenant. It begins to talk about the law. Well, we're not under the law. When you come over to the book of Ephesians, what Paul is blessing God for is, if you kind of look over in Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Rather than blessing God because of the law that he bestowed upon Israel, Paul talks about the blessings he's given to us to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what we're blessing God for, praising God for today in the age in which we live. The opposite of law is grace. And God has given us grace and put us under grace, and we are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Psalms 105 verse 11 says, saying unto thee, I will give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And so they were given a place not only in the earth, but they have a physical place that God is going to bless them in. He is going to use them in the earth, and He is going to bless them physically in the earth. That's why you've read down through there about, don't touch my anointed, I'll wipe out those kings who come against my people, I'll judge those people who come against my people. God is going to protect them and bless them physically. But when you come over to Ephesians 1:3, Paul is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so it's not the physical things that Israel was promised that we have, it's spiritual blessings that we have. And so the parallel just keeps on going back and forth. But it's the same emphasis, and that's what I want you to get as far as the positive out of this. The same emphasis that Israel and what David will write these psalms, which these psalms were written for the purpose of Israel to get together, and when they got together to lift up songs of praise unto God. And when they did that, David wrote down the covenants and the promises and the things that God is going to bless the nation of Israel with, and he caused Israel to get together, and he actually organized in the temple in Israel choirs that would sing and people that would be in charge of music so that they would take these psalms and lift them up in praise and worship to God for what God is going to do for them. And I believe when we come over to Ephesians chapter 1, that there when Paul begins what I call that roll, it just keeps flowing and flowing and it's beautiful, that is music. It's what we ought to get together and lift up our voice and give thanks for. And so that's what Paul is doing in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, and then begins to talk about the blessings that we have from God, the things that God has blessed us with. And so we begin to study those together. Blessed be the God and Father, Ephesians 1:3 now, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The first one that he gives us, I say it's general in the sense that it says all spiritual blessings. Well, as I told you, that I look at that and sometimes I wonder, well, what does that mean to be blessed with all spiritual blessings? And what it means is when it's half blessed. The first blessed, notice there's like three different blessings in this verse. Blessed be God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So he keeps throwing that word out, and you need to stop and realize what the word blessed means. First, in the first phrase, we talked about it being thanksgiving to God. But now he's talking about with what God has blessed us with, and that is what God has prospered us with, what God has benefited us with. God has bestowed some blessings toward us. And he's giving thanks for how God has prospered, and that's what the word blessed means, prospered us. We're going to learn about the true prosperity message today. And we have been prospered by the Lord Jesus Christ and by God the Father. He has blessed us and prospered or benefited us with benefits. And then he begins to name them. The first is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, spiritual blessings. What is spiritual blessings? Well, I think when you think of the word spiritual, two things ought to come to your mind, just to give you a foundation to start with. Spiritual blessings, number one, is spiritual speaks about things that are not seen. For instance, angels are spiritual beings. Do they exist? Yes, they exist. But they exist in they're not visible to our sight unless they come and make themselves visible to us. So when it says spiritual, the word spiritual just by itself automatically means non-carnal, non-fleshly, not physical, but something that is just as real, but it's not something that's materialistic, not something that's physical, not something that can be seen with the eyes, but they're things that are unseen, things that are invisible and yet real. Now, let me hold your place here and come to Colossians chapter 1, because I don't think you can understand Ephesians and the things that are recorded in Ephesians unless you understand the reality of spiritual things. Sometimes when we say something spiritual, we think, well, then it's not real. Don't get the idea it's not real. It's just spiritual. It's not physical. It's not of the flesh. It's not seen with the eyes. It's something more internal than external. But it's just as real, just as valuable, as the physical things. And Colossians points that out in a way that you can at least get the value. We are carnal. We are fleshly. We are physical. We think of everything in a physical realm. So what we learn in the book of Colossians is how we can look at the physical and not to lust after it and want it, but to realize just as real as that is, so is a whole spiritual realm that we cannot see. And you see it over here in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15. It talks about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Is God real? Sure, he's real. He's more real than you and I. We perish, we didn't exist, he always was. God is real. But he is a spirit. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we would never know how to visualize or to think about God, because we're not spiritual creatures. We're physical creatures. And God made himself known to us because Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's God who became flesh. And so God, he is invisible, but he became personalized for us in the person of Jesus Christ. But it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. You know, there's some invisible things that God has created. You know, I listened to a set of tapes from a scientist who said, don't let any scientist ever tell you that they looked in some electron microscope and saw an atom. That no scientist has ever saw an atom. An atom is so small that what they see the result of an atom or a trace of an atom, but to see the atom itself, they cannot see. It is so small. Is it real? Well, frankly, I don't know. Man has created that term, but there's something definitely that holds everything together, and the Bible says that it's Jesus Christ who does it. But he does it through some means, and so we assume that atoms do exist. But this passage is not just dealing with the atoms, the things of our world that are invisible. It says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And before it mentioned all those thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, it's when it said visible and invisible, it says things that are in heaven and things that are in earth. Visible, invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. That means there are visible thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. But just as much as there's those visible ones that Jesus created, there are invisible thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. And what those are speaking about is, Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The things that are in heaven are totally invisible to us. And I would go say, in our Dearborn Bible study, I got rolling one day. A lady asked me a question about the heavens. And I just started blurting out about what we're going to be doing in the heavens and what exists in the heavens. And she looked at me, she had her sister visiting, and she looked at me like, boy, did you flip out? Are you crazy? Because what I began to say is, I believe there's life on those planets out there. I believe there's existence and there's government and there's people existing there, not human beings, but angelic beings. And they're just as real, we just can't see it. We go up there and we land and we say, oh, there's nothing here. I don't believe there's nothing there. God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and the beings that live out there don't have physical bodies like you and I have, but they live in the heavenly places, and they have principalities and powers and dominion, just like on this earth there's principalities, powers, and dominion. They're just as real as you and I are. They do a purpose of God just as much as you and I are supposed to do. But they exist, but they're in the invisible realm that we can't see. And so when we begin to talk, and I just share that to expand your mind a little bit, that you don't think you're the only ones that exist in the universe. Hopefully you know that there's angels that have appeared on earth, and God has given us record of when they've appeared. Where did they go when they leave? Well, they probably go back home. Where's home? Well, Paul said they live in high places. They live in the heavens. What do? You know, when you get into Greek mythology, they used to worship, the Bible says they worship the stars, and they give those stars names, and they call those stars gods. And what they're really doing is they're worshiping angelic beings, things that the Bible said they know not what. They don't know these things. They've always, men have always known they've existed, but they get superstitious about it, and they worship God's creation. The angelic world is a creation of God rather than the Creator. Now, I'm just like Dearborn here. I'm getting way off. I just want you to realize when we talk about us being blessed with spiritual blessings, that doesn't mean they're really not real. They're not as good as what Israel had. That they are real. That they're in a spiritual realm. They're things that are not seen, things that are not physical. We do have prosperity. We do have benefits that have been given us. That's what blessed means. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has prospered us, who has benefited us with spiritual blessings. And Paul in Ephesians will give us, enumerate some of those spiritual benefits that we have. But the first thing that he says is that all the spiritual benefits, we have them all. That's how much we have been benefited by God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ with all the spiritual blessings that God has ever promised He has given to us in Christ. And if we could enumerate them and come up with a list of 100 or 1,000, the one point is all the spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. Now, go back to Ephesians 1, because I said there's two things when you say spiritual blessings. First, realize they're real, but they're not physical. They're things that God has promised in a spiritual realm, in the internal rather than the external. But the other thing that you'll understand immediately about spiritual is the first part of that word, spirit. S-P-I-R-I-T. Spiritual. What would it mean if the Bible says that we are to be spiritual? Well, we understand that term about a proper Christian living. What you're talking about is someone who is led by the Spirit of God. Now, when Paul says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, the reason he could say that is we live in the age of the Holy Spirit, where, for instance, Ephesians 1:13, even though we're getting a little ahead, Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted," that is in Christ, "after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, the promise was made to the nation of Israel. God, in His grace, has given the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the very presence of the Holy Spirit Himself is the blessing of all of God's spiritual blessings. All what we mean by spiritual blessings, then, is everything that I am benefited by having the Holy Spirit. If I, by faith, receive the Holy Spirit, I am benefited by just having the Spirit. And everything that I'm benefited by having the Holy Spirit is the spiritual blessings. Now, for instance, Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 1, "And you hath He quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins." How did God make me alive? Well, I'm quickened by the Spirit. I'm made alive by the Spirit of God. I'm regenerated, according to Titus chapter 3, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost that's been given to me. When God gave to me His Holy Spirit, it imparted to me the life of God. You know what the life of God is? It's eternal life. When I was given the Holy Spirit, part of the spiritual blessings that I got is spiritual life, which is eternal life. In fact, it's the very life of God has been imparted to my soul. That's why I can tell you I am saved right now. I'm not waiting for a day to be saved. I'm already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And what are some of those spiritual blessings? Well, the very basis of it is the eternal life that God has given me by giving to me His Holy Spirit. Now, watch this one. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Paul writes to the Corinthians. And when you read these Corinthians, we've talked about this already, they didn't live a very saintly life at all. But yet Paul addresses them as saints. And here's one of the other benefits that you have by God giving to those who believed on His Son eternal life. One of the benefits is not only the Spirit who imparts life, but that Holy Spirit does a work for God in your behalf. And this is it. Verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves." In case you're not in the list yet, the next one got you. "Or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." God had nothing to do with sinners. And you know what? We're all like this. And sometimes we still dabble in it. And you know, if it wasn't for the work that God has done in saving me through the Lord Jesus Christ and imparting to me His Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have eternal life. And that's what the verse says. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." All that unrighteousness is cleansed. "Ye are sanctified," set apart. No longer, here's the world. The word "set apart" means to set apart from the world, separate it from the world, but it's to set apart from the world unto God. And anything that you set apart unto God, you can only set apart that which is holy unto God. So the word "sanctified" means set apart as holy. That's why "washed" came first. You're washed, you are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how? And by the Spirit of our God. I could never be cleansed unless Jesus Christ first went to the cross and died on the cross to totally pay for all my sins. But even that wouldn't keep me saved if God didn't give me His Holy Spirit, who once I possessed that Holy Spirit, God looked down and the Holy Spirit just reached down, took me, separated me out from this world and said, "You belong to God, you're holy unto Him, you're not only washed, but you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." So when we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, it's blessings that are not visible to the eye, because sometimes you'll say, "Hey, you don't look like a guy that's washed. You don't look like a saint." But it doesn't matter what it looks like, it's a reality. It's just as true because the Spirit of God has imparted to me blessings when He came. So the blessing of eternal life, the life of God was imparted to me. The blessing of being set apart as belonging to God forever as holy has been benefited to me by the giving to me of the Holy Spirit after I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then we could go on to talk about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. To live for God, that's an internal empowerment of being led of the Holy Spirit. That's why that term "spiritual" is a term that's descriptive of the Christian life. And then as we read in Ephesians 1:13, not only am I saved, not only am I set apart as belonging unto God, not only am I empowered by the Holy Spirit, but I'm also sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And Paul writes, "You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All that what it means to have the Holy Spirit in you today, you're benefited by all that the Holy Spirit does in your behalf and before God. You've already got those blessings in Christ. You're blessed already with all spiritual blessings. And we need to wrap it up. So Ephesians 1:3. I was so worried about expressing verse 4. I never thought we'd just stop in verse 3. But verse 3, let's finish the verse. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, those unseen blessings, all that's mine because God has saved me and given me His Holy Spirit, all those spiritual blessings I'm already blessed with, but they involve a place, heavenly places. The blessings that I have, they're given to me in Christ, but they involve the heavenly places. That's where my blessings lie. If I would talk about, if my blessings are my, prosperity, what I've been prospered with by God, what the benefits that I have been given of God, where do my benefits lie? They don't lie here on earth. My benefits are coming in heaven. That's where all the benefits lie. What God has done for me is to get me there, because His purpose and where He is going to bless me is out in the heavenly places. And that is a stark difference from anything else ever taught in the Scriptures. That God has a purpose for a sinner like me who He saved by His grace and sealed with His Holy Spirit to place me in the heavenly places, and there He's going to benefit me throughout all eternity. And my blessings are not only are they not physical, my benefits are spiritual, but they're not only spiritual, they're spiritual in the heavenly places. Because that's where God is going to use me. That's His purpose for me, is those heavenly places. And hopefully you can say the same thing. Last thing it says in that verse, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then notice the last thing, in Christ. All blessings come in God's Son, in Christ. The point is getting in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Well, we've told you before that the book of Ephesians is foundational, building upon, not foundational, is a building, a superstructure upon the foundation that's laid in the book of Romans. You know how you get in Christ? You believe on Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins. You realize He's the one who is the one who died that you might be justified on the basis of faith, that God would declare you righteous if you would simply believe in His Son, what His Son has done. And once you're in Christ, all the benefits that God has, all the spiritual blessings, all the purpose that He has for you in the heavenly places are your benefits because you got in Christ. A lot of people here would like to have a job working for the big three, wouldn't you? That's always been the goal these days. Things are coming down. They're in contract talks. But why do you want a job with, let's say, for instance, General Motors? Because if you can get into General Motors, you will not only have a big salary, because everybody gets paid pretty decently in those companies, but you'll not only get a good salary, a benefit of that nature, they have great hospitalization, they take care of your needs, they offer you a great retirement plan that is yours, and when you retire from that company, and that includes taking care of you until the day you die. There is a benefit involved in being in the General Motors Corporation and being an employee of theirs. If you can get in General Motors, you'll be blessed, won't you? You won't be blessed half as much as if you get into Christ. Because in Christ are all the spiritual blessings. And this is only the beginning. There's 22 times you're going to read in the book of Ephesians, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All of what God has and planned and is going to do involves those who are in Christ. And you get in Christ by faith in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit, one of the spiritual blessings, baptizes you into Jesus Christ, into His death, burial, and resurrection, and you'll become part of the body of Christ. And the people who are going to be benefited, what Paul says, blessed, and the beginning is only the spiritual blessings. He's going to go on to talk about the other blessings that we have. It all begins, and it's only for those who are in Christ. And so if you're not in Christ, you're missing out. You can be in Him. And you're in Him only when you put your faith in Him. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How do we get in there? We're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You trust Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross for you, and God the Father takes you, and He places you in Jesus Christ, sees you as righteous, and then benefits you with everything that He wants to benefit His Son with in the heavenly places. They're all yours once you get in Christ. And so the whole thing that you're going to read in Ephesians is yours once you're in Christ. And the believer is the ones who are in Christ. We'll pick up that next week, because Paul will just enumerate some of these other things as we go on. Let's bow for prayer. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Well, what are those spiritual blessings? With your head bowed and your eyes closed. One of those last spiritual blessings we talked about was being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, how'd you get that? Well, it says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have to make a decision of faith. God's only going to be working your life on the basis of an understanding. He wants you to understand that His Son died on the cross for your sins, that He wants to bless you, but only in His Son. And all He wants out of you is for you to decide to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be washed, and you'll be sanctified, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be His forever and ever. And to be outside of Him is to live in eternity apart from the goodness of God, apart from the grace of God, apart from the love of God. You don't want to exist that way. Trust Jesus Christ if you never have as your Savior today. Father, we thank you in his name for what you've given us. We thank you for loving us to such a degree that you would give us such benefits in your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace that's been bestowed upon us through faith in him. And we pray that in the coming weeks we'll understand more of what we have so that we can sing this as the Apostle Paul sang it from his heart to you and praised you for all that your goodness to us.